Tom Riddle merely smiled as the others laughed again. Harry noticed that he was by no means the eldest of the group of boys, but that they all seemed to look to him as their leader. "I don't know that politics would suit me, sir," he said when the laughter had died away. "I don't have the right kind of background, for one thing." A couple of the boys around him smirked at each other. Harry was sure they were enjoying a private joke, undoubtedly about what they knew or suspected regarding their gang leader's famous ancestor.
"Nonsense," said Slughorn briskly. "Couldn't be plainer. You come from decent wizarding stock, abilities like yours. No, you'll go far, Tom. I've never been wrong about a student yet."
The small golden clock standing upon Slughorn's desk chimed 11 o'clock behind him, and he looked around.
"Good gracious, is it that time already? You'd better get going, boys, or we'll all be in trouble. Lestrange, I want your essay by tomorrow or it's detention. Same goes for you, Avery."
One by one, the boys filed out of the room. Slughorn heaved himself out of his armchair and carried his empty glass over to his desk. A movement behind him made him look around. Riddle was still standing there.
"Look sharp, Tom. You don't want to be caught out of bed out of hours? And you, a prefect?"
"Sir, I wanted to ask you something."
"Ask away then, my boy, ask away."
"Sir, I wondered what you know about Horcruxes." Slughorn stared at him, his thick fingers absent-mindedly caressing the stem of his wine glass.
"Project for defense against the dark arts, is it?"
But Harry could tell that Slughorn knew perfectly well that this was not schoolwork.
"Not exactly, sir," said Riddle. "I came across the term while reading, and I didn't fully understand it." "No. Well, you'd be hard-pushed to find a book at Hogwarts that'll give you details on Horcruxes, Tom. That's very dark stuff. Very dark indeed," said Slughorn.
"But you obviously know all about them, sir. I mean, a wizard like you. Sorry, I mean, if you can't tell me, obviously. I just knew if anyone could tell me, you could. So I just thought I'd ask." It was very well done, thought Harry. The hesitancy, the casual tone, the careful flattery, none of it overdone. He, Harry, had had too much experience of trying to wheedle information out of reluctant people not to recognize a master at work. He could tell that Riddle wanted the information very, very much, perhaps had been working toward this moment for weeks.
"Well," said Slughorn, not looking at Riddle, but fiddling with the ribbon on top of his box of crystallized pineapple. "Well, it can't hurt to give you an overview, of course, just so that you understand the term. A Horcrux is the word used for an object in which a person has concealed part of their soul."
"I don't quite understand how that works, though, sir," said Riddle. His voice was carefully controlled, but Harry could sense his excitement.
"Well, you split your soul, you see," said Slughorn, "and hide part of it in an object outside the body. Then, even if one's body is attacked or destroyed, one cannot die, for part of the soul remains earthbound and undamaged. But of course, existence in such a form..."
Slughorn's face crumpled, and Harry found himself remembering words he had heard nearly 2 years before.
"I was ripped from my body. I was less than spirit, less than the meanest ghost, but still I was alive. Few would want it, Tom, very few. Death would be preferable."
But Riddle's hunger was now apparent. His expression was greedy. He could no longer hide his longing.
"How do you split your soul?" "Well," said Slughorn uncomfortably, "you must understand that the soul is supposed to remain intact and whole. Splitting it is an act of violation. It is against nature."
"But how do you do it?"
"By an act of evil. The supreme act of evil. By committing murder. Killing rips the soul apart. The wizard intent upon creating a Horcrux would use the damage to his advantage. He would encase the torn portion."
"Encase? But how?"
"There is a spell. Do not ask me, I don't know," said Slughorn, shaking his head like an old elephant bothered by mosquitoes.
Do I look as though I have tried it? Do I look like a killer?
No, sir, of course not, said Riddle quickly. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend.
Not at all, not at all, not offended, said Slughorn gruffly. It's natural to feel some curiosity about these things. Wizards of a certain caliber have always been drawn to that aspect of magic.
Yes, sir, said Riddle. What I don't understand, though, just out of curiosity, I mean, would one Horcrux be much use? Can you only split your soul once? Wouldn't it be better, make you stronger, to have your soul in more pieces? I mean, for instance, isn't 7 the most powerfully magical number? Wouldn't 7...
Merlin's beard, Tom, yelped Slughorn. 7? Isn't it bad enough to think of killing one person? And in any case, bad enough to divide the soul? But to rip it into 7 pieces?
Slughorn looked deeply troubled now. He was gazing at Riddle as though he had never seen him plainly before, and Harry could tell that he was regretting entering into the conversation at all.
Of course, he muttered. This is all hypothetical. What we're discussing, isn't it? All academic.
Yes, sir, of course, said Riddle quickly.
But all the same, Tom, keep it quiet, what I've told. That's to say, what we've discussed. People wouldn't like to think we've been chatting about Horcruxes. It's a banned subject at Hogwarts, you know. Dumbledore's particularly fierce about it.
I won't say a word, sir, said Riddle, and he left, but not before Harry had glimpsed his face, which was full of that same wild happiness it had worn when he had first found out that he was a wizard, the sort of happiness that did not enhance his handsome features, but made them somehow less human.
Thank you, Harry, said Dumbledore quietly. Let us go.